ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yep. Oh, man. So it begins.
Shock Therapy Live.
Shock Therapy Live with three people.
Yeah.
Bam.
I'm hanging out.
You know, I figured it's 9 o'clock hour. Our Team Awesome Morning Party normally runs till 10. Teo just kind of hangs out and listens.
I do. Well, I'm usually in there doing what Dougie Fresh is in there doing right now.
Dougie Fresh.
We got an intern producer man of awesome named Doug who's going to be helping out. And so if
that sentence almost made sense.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
We almost make sense all the time.
Okay, so I was at dinner the other day, and the question came up, if you were a rapper, what would your rap name be? Because, you know, rappers always have crazy names.
Yeah.
And Brian Nixon apparently knew somebody, a rapper named Peanut Butter Wolf.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a strange
name.
He's
friends with Dave Gatt, too.
Peanut Butter Wolf?
Yeah.
My name would be Big Scale.
Big Scale?
Like Big Skeleton?
Oh.
Big Scale.
Big Scale.
I might.
You didn't even like bat an eye to that.
No, it's because I might or might not have recorded some tracks. I don't know. It's a.
Oh man,
it's behind me. That's the old life, Nate.
My rap name would be Swanky Leg, because I've got one like kind of ghetto leg, and I do a dance move. This would be my Swanky Leg dance move.
Swanky.
Oh, that is weird. Is that the one that you like shattered with? Yeah. Okay,
whoa. Swanky Leg.
That's pretty cool.
What would yours be?
Gosh, you can't put me on the spot.
Steve-O, what was your rap name? You had a rap name.
I didn't have a rap name. I was Chris Chicago's hype man. C-Doublelicious, when he was out, I would back him up, but I never had a... It was just Steve-O. I wasn't like... It was just like, Steve-O, and he would... Yeah. However, me and Joey, we did a couple rap videos.
Yeah, I've seen it. For that barbecue place.
Yeah, so my rap name was Steve-3PO.
Okay. Ooh. There it is, right
and
there.
And then it was Joe-2D2 was my partner, you know. So Steve-3PO works, I guess.
Dude,
because
like
I've actually recorded tracks with that hip-hop name. Gosh, how did...
See? Or you could be Han Steve-O. Thank you. And you're welcome.
I like Steve-3PO better.
Yeah, Steve-3PO.
It just kind of has a ring to it.
You know what I'm saying? Steve-3PO! Yeah. That's how I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be Princess Mateo. Is that right?
No.
I don't think correctly.
No.
Anyway, let's get to the serious stuff.
If you put enough makeup on in a dress, you can fool anybody.
I've got makeup on right now, Nate.
He is purdy.
Always
webcam.
Ready.
He does every morning.
It's a light foundation. Leave me alone.
What about the lipstick?
Wow.
It's a natural shade.
It is Shock Therapy Live. It is the one-hour call-in show centered around you. We want to hear from you. We still have one phone line open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Pastor Nate Heitzig in with us and just kind of hanging out, talking about personal stuff, your personal life. Maybe something happened, or maybe you just have a question. You don't understand how to confront somebody on something, how to talk to somebody about something. We're here for you.
We're here to talk about your life.
We want
to
kick it. And speaking of, we got line one. Static, hello.
Hey, what's up, man? What are you guys up to?
Hey.
Hola.
You're cracking me up. Hey, I think it seems kind of trivial. You know, it would probably seem kind of trivial as a topic, but to me lately it seems like it's more important than that.
Yeah.
Just something as simple as just praying, you know, when I'm by myself. I'm consistently in prayer. I want to know when I'm praying to Jesus Christ. Of course, I never exalt, you know, anyone over Jesus Christ personally. You know, inside myself, I pray to Jesus Christ, you know, directly to him. And my question is that all prayer is intended for, is specifically as a channel of communicating with my Creator? Because at times I want to pray and give thanks and praise to the good spirits, or, you know, call it angels, or, you know, angels around Jesus that do his work for him. Or is that totally unnecessary? And if I feel compelled to do that, is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, this is the thing. Prayer is something specifically reserved for God. Because when we pray, it's not like, and this is why a lot of people do it. They think, oh man, I can pray, to saints or to angels or to people who have passed before me and gone to heaven. But the issue with that is there's no reference in the Bible that those people can hear you or that they can hear your prayers or receive your prayers. The only person, the only being that is referenced in the Bible that can receive and hear prayers is God. And again, even more specific to that, when we're talking about praying to God, Jesus tells us to pray to God the Father, not to Jesus. So even within that, there's this element that we are to pray to God the Father through the name of Jesus. You know, when Jesus, this is really interesting, the only thing that the disciples ever asked Jesus how to do was how to pray. You know, they never asked Jesus how to perform miracles. They never asked him how to deliver a sermon, but they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And that's where we find the Lord's Prayer. And he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the very first thing you do is you pray to God the Father, worshiping him, magnifying him, saying, you are holy. You are most magnificent. You are hallowed. The issue here is that you pray first exalting God and his glory before praying for anything else. And so you say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then you go to the needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, and so on and so forth. You know it. But, you know, this isn't meant to be something we repeat. This is meant to be a model for prayer. Yeah. You know, this Lord's Prayer is only repeated once in the entire Bible. It's not said anywhere else. Jesus says it there, and he doesn't say it again at the Last Supper. He doesn't say it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says it once. And so this is a model for how all Christians are supposed to pray. We come to God the Father through the name of Jesus Christ, glorifying him, exalting him, recognizing his place on the throne, and then from there we ask for our needs within our lives after we've glorified his name. And so there's a specific way that Jesus taught us to pray within that passage.
You know, and I'm guilty of that. I mean, I took the model and I you know, repeated that prayer a gazillion times over the years, but that was never the intention.
Yeah.
You put me completely at peace. You know, I was kind of confounded just a little bit on those specifics. And thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
And I just want to throw one other thing before you go. Prayer is meant to be something that doesn't bend God's will to ours. You know, a lot of people think of prayer as like a time, like it's like Santa Claus time. Like, hey, you come sit on the throne and you pray to Jesus and you tell him what you want. Maybe he'll change his mind. So it's like if you're having a really hard time in life and you say, Lord, change that. Maybe he's going to be like, okay, you know, I was thinking about doing this to you, but I'm going to change my mind. That's not the purpose of prayer. The purpose of prayer is to align our will with God's will.
Yeah.
That's why the prayer ends, not my will, but your will be done. You know, and so there's this concept, you know, as Jesus prays, that he's always aligning his will with the Father's prayer. And so the purpose of prayer is to align our will with the will of God, that we would say, Lord, give us the desires, you know, give us the things in our lives that you would have for us, that you would want for us. And so I want to point that out, because we should always pray in accordance with the will of God, but not to bend the will of God, but to align our will with God's.
Yeah.
Perfect, man. Again, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You guys, take care.
Later, man.
Love you. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. And prayer, obviously, it's an important thing. Now, here's a question, because we got to hang out last week. We were talking about things Friday. Rocking through the book of Matthew right now, you know, and going through that, and then going through again right now, actually, with my kids, we're going through the book of Matthew, and that's kind of a question that comes up and when we pray together, when we talk about things. Is there anything wrong in asking? You know, we talk about aligning our will with God, but the desires of our heart, God obviously knows those desires, as we're told in Psalm 37, like he wants to give us the desires of our heart. That doesn't mean if we pray for a Lamborghini that he's just going to shell out a Lamborghini, because that's the desire of our heart. Like you said, it's aligning our will with God. But Is there ever a time where it's like, this is not, it's not okay to ask for this? Well, what if you're looking for that job or that, you know what I mean?
There, you obviously never want to pray against the will of God.
Right.
So, you know, for instance, you're like, Lord, I really want to move in with my girlfriend. Will you please give me a sign that it's okay for me to do that? That's praying against the will of God. Now, is it bad to pray for, provision or pray for things that you want? No, it's not bad, but you don't pray it with the expectation that it's going to happen. You pray it with, you know, just an open heart, like, Lord, man, it would be really cool if this happened, but I'm not praying with an expectation that you need to provide this for me. You're praying it just with an understanding that Lord, I trust your will, and I'm going to pray in accordance with your will. If it's in your will for me to get that, that'd be awesome. And I also want to redefine and clarify the desires of your heart, because that verse is one of the most misquoted verses of all time. A lot of people think, okay, Lord, if I pray, you're going to give me the desires, that the things that I want, the desires of my heart. That verse is misquoted. The concept there is that as we come to God, not that he's going to give you what you want, but he will implant within your heart the desires that you are supposed to have.
Right. Yeah.
And so the most simple way to think of it is if you are walking with, following, and seeking after God, he will naturally implant within your heart the desires that he would want you to have. So, you know, people say, well, man, God said he's going to give me the desires of my heart. I really want to be a millionaire. That's like the desire of my heart. So God's going to give that to me, right? Well, no, not at all. Well, okay, maybe not a millionaire, but I really, really, really want a Ferrari.
Right.
Well, that's not necessarily going to happen either. Okay, well, I'll settle for a bike. No, he might not even give you that.
Yeah.
You know, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that God's going to give you the stuff that you want.
Right.
Now, we have a lot of verses where it says that he'll give you the things that you need, that he'll provide for you.
So basically what you're saying is our expectation should not be that he's this magical genie, he's going to give us stuff, but it is an expectation that God knows us better than we know ourselves. So God knows how to take care of us, what we need. And so the expectation that isn't necessarily that we're going to get that job. However, if that's God's will for our life, that we may in turn get that job or that whatever it is that we're asking and seeking the Lord and knowing that if that does happen, then I mean, that's the will of God.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe that's what. Yeah.
Now understand this too. This is a scary thing because I'm passionate about this because I just taught about the prayer a few weeks ago at Renovate. But prayer is something reserved specifically for following believers of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say following because we have passages in the Bible that talk where God is talking to people who are supposed to be following God, but they're really not following God. They're hypocrites. He's talking to non-believers. And his words to them is, I hate your prayers.
Yeah.
I detest your religion. And he literally says, I will not hear them. So that means if you're not walking with God and you're saying prayers and you're just talking to God, not only does he not listen to them, he hates them. He hates them. So a lot of us think like, oh man, you know, I can pray to God anytime and he's going to hear me. Well, that's not necessarily true. If you're not walking with God, the Bible says he will not hear them. He will not listen to them. And so prayer is specifically reserved for following believers in Jesus Christ.
Would you say also for the, you know, because I know there are probably people listening going, oh crap. So that's not to say the person who is maybe overcome by the Holy Spirit, convicted something in their life, and they fall before God and they've never followed God, but they're crying out to him in that moment.
Yeah.
God hears that.
Yes, totally. It's he doesn't hear these repetitions, these vain, hollow prayers asking for things, you know?
Right.
So what happens is you get a lot of non-believers that say, well, I've been asking God for a miracle, but he hasn't given me one. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because God's not listening to you. You know what I mean? You're praying the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Again, the purpose of prayer isn't to align God's will with ours, to say, okay, I want this to happen. God, you got to make it happen. That's not the purpose of prayer. And God will never do that. He will never answer in that way. The purpose of prayer is to align our will with God's. And so a lot of us have a fundamental misunderstanding of what prayer is all about, what the purpose of prayer is.
Yeah. Resources. I know your dad wrote a book. When Jesus or when God?
When God prays.
When God
yeah.
prays. That was it.
Yeah, it's a really great book.
Yeah.
I just did a few messages at Renovate on prayer. I think I did 3 messages on the Lord's Prayer,
cool.
And I really broke it down into what prayer is supposed to look like within a believer's life.
Yeah.
You can find those at renovateabq.org.
Perfect.
Yeah.
When God prays, available at Parchments right here on the Calvary campus. And so, yeah, you can call, what is it, 1-844-Parchments? I believe. So, and ask for When God Prays, because we want to be able to provide resources as well. If you're out there and you want a better understanding, there's plenty of resources available. So,
yeah.
Great question from the caller. Speaking of callers, let's go back to the phone lines. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Had a question.
Have an answer.
I'm a student at Liberty University. I take it online. We had a discussion board this week on Acts 2:38. It's talking about repent of your sins and be baptized and you receive the Holy Spirit. I was always taught that you had to invite the Holy Spirit into your life after you be baptized. It's not like an actual done thing. You have to receive it. Like Jesus told us to ask for it when he told the disciples to do that. That's what was my interpretation of the scripture. My question is, is that right or is that wrong to think that?
Yeah, well, this is what we've got to understand. When we're looking at the Holy Spirit, there's two different roles the Holy Spirit plays within a believer's life. So you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have the filling of the Holy Spirit, and then you have the baptism of the Spirit. Every believer, when we become a Christian, the Holy Spirit becomes a part of our lives. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, he's speaking to us. He's talking to us. Up until when we're not a believer, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us.
Right.
When we become a believer, the Holy Spirit is living in us. He becomes a part of us. And so there's this concept of being filled with the Holy Spirit, but that is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is where we see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that is something, again, where Jesus specifically prayed for that. He said, pray for this, ask for this. And that's where we find the power of the Holy Spirit, where that comes into play, where you see the gifts, you see the signs, you see the wonders, you see the things that the Holy Spirit does that we're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that is something that we are to ask for and pray for once we already are believers.
Okay, because that's probably where I got confused. I got docked 15 points because I didn't know exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Do you want to hit on kinda that anymore, Steve?
Well, I was just looking at it, and I wanted to, because we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that in and of itself is a huge discussion, because you have baptism, and then you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, correct me if I'm wrong, this seems to be speaking more of baptism by water, not baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Correct. This is baptism by water.
Right.
And this is what we've got to understand. The Holy Spirit's job within the Trinity, for a non-believer, it is to convict the non-believer of sin and lead them to repentance. That's the Holy Spirit's job within the Trinity. So that's the job that he does within a non-believer. Then within a believer, the job of the Holy Spirit is to fill the believer and to give the believer the power that is found in God. And so that power is found and it is revealed in multiple ways. You know, one way is through, you know, what we would call discernment. Discernment is something that believers should have, and that's something the Holy Spirit gives to us regardless of whether or not we've had the baptism of the Spirit. Discernment is something that all believers should have. And so as we're walking with God, the Holy Spirit gives that power. Then again, there's the additional powers, which comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is where you find the gifts, of teaching, the gifts of evangelism, the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, you know, those gifts that we would say the gifts of the Spirit, that comes from the baptism of the Spirit.
All right. Does that help you out?
Yes, sir. I was just confused on everything. That's probably what I was thinking about, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Great questions. Yeah.
Now, here's a couple verses for you, too. Did you want to touch on something really quick?
No, I'm listening.
Oh.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
So 1 Corinthians 12:13 is a great verse that looks at this. It says, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body." So this is talking about the idea that the moment we receive Jesus Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:9 tells us that if a person does not possess the Holy Spirit, they do not belong to Christ. So we've got these verses that talk about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit being a part of the Christian's life from the moment they ask Jesus Christ into their hearts. So there's this concept that we've got to understand that the Holy Spirit should be a part of every believer's life. If he's not, then there's not a true relationship with Christ.
Okay.
Dude, keep studying, keep asking good questions, because that is all great, and have fun with that online college funness. That sounds intense.
Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too.
All right, man. God bless.
I feel like it'd be so hard to take online courses in theology. Oh man.
I had a really tough time taking, when we first started touring, I took some online classes, and I don't know how anybody can do it. It's so hard to focus.
Yeah. Well, and you never know the inflection. You never, you know, so, especially something as deep as theological study is like that. I just, anyways.
Kudos to you, friend.
Yeah. No kidding. And I immediately wanted to clarify, because I know a lot of times baptism versus baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then we could get into an entire theological discussion on that, which usually is reserved for Thursdays. But yeah, good stuff. All right. Hey, coming up, we want to take more of your phone calls. We want to take more of your questions. The phone lines are open to you right now. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. You can chime in as well by sending us an email. Maybe you want to keep it anonymous. Maybe it's something very personal. We will respect that and keep it anonymous. So send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com, and right back with more Shock Therapy Live on Static.
Static Radio appreciates support from businesses like Sipapu Ski and Summer Resort. Since 1952, they've served the community of northwestern New Mexico with a natural mountain terrain for all ski and snowboarding ability levels. And host events like the 11th Annual Cardboard Derby, Saturday, March 15th. Sipapu Ski and Summer Resort on Highway 518, 20 miles southeast of Taos in northwestern New Mexico. Online at sipapunm.com. Thanks for your support of Static Radio.
Connect to a hotspot with Skip Heitzig.
But you know, God does that. The Bible calls it discipline, or more particularly, chastisement. Do not despise the chastening of the Lord, Hebrews says. God is doing, he gets our attention. David wrote in Psalm 119, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Now, there's something implicit in that statement. It's as if to say, you know, I'm sort of walking on the edge and getting a little farther and farther away from God, and then, bam, I'm back. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word." It corrects us. Again, C.S. Lewis brilliantly put it this way: "Pain plants the flag of truth within the fortress of a rebel soul." So powerful.
Call 1-800-922-1888 for a free teaching by Skip Heitzig, or hear more when you subscribe to his podcast at skipheitzig.com/podcasts.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good, because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome.
Yes.
Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Pastor Nate Heitzig, Mateo.
Hey.
We want to talk to you. 505-338-3700.
We don't really want to. We have to. We're here.
We want to!
Just joking.
It's like the purpose. Did we get any? I don't know. I never know if we get anything. Oh, we have three emails. What does that look like? Are they spam?
Spam!
Oh, looks like we got a real one.
Oh, hey. Boom, we did get one.
What?
Shoot, girl.
If you'd like to send us a question.
This ain't no spam from a continuing education college.
studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com if you'd like to keep it anonymous. Or give us a call. Our super awesome intern, Doug, is taking your phone calls at 505-338-3700. He wants to get to know you. A little about you, your question, and we'll get you on the air.
We want to know what you like.
Yeah.
What makes you happy?
Yes.
What turns you on?
Favorite color?
Well, not really that. Sorry. I forgot this wasn't a group dating site.
They spam too.
Nathan! That was Janae. I could hear her. I could hear her all the way from your house.
Hey.
Nathan! Yeah.
I like to club baby seals. That's what I like to do.
You don't have to defend yourself here. This is a trust tree. This is the tree.
Oh, man.
The tree of trust?
Yes, the tree of trust. So,
the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
We did receive an email question, and what does said email question have to say?
Well, this really has to do with you, because I know you struggle with this, Steve-O. Oh. I was wondering, if you're saved and believe in God, is it bad or wrong to play video games or do things that are fun?
Okay.
Interesting you ask this question, because this is why Steve-O is going to hell. He plays video games, and we all know that leads to hell.
I was so nervous about what it was going to be.
Just a bit of light fare on Shock Therapy Live today.
Oh, man. Okay, so if you are saved, is it wrong to play video games? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Is it wrong to play? Here's what sucks.
I have the easy answer
Gosh,
for this.
Here's what pisses me off.
If it's made by Sony, yes, because Sony's the Antichrist.
What? I have a PS4.
Oh, sorry. I thought
mark
everyone knew
of the
that.
Beast. You took the mark.
Oh, man. Okay. Is it wrong to play video games or do things that are fun? This kills me. I'm not going to lie.
I know.
You, sir or madam who are emailing in, you do not frustrate or piss me off. But I will say what does piss me off. I hate that there's a stigma that if you're a Christian, your life has to be boring. You spend 7 days a week going to church and you can't enjoy church. God forbid you enjoy it. It has to be miserable and you're like this freaking monk and everything sucks.
I know.
And it irritates me.
I've always hated that verse in the Bible where Jesus says, "Thou must be miserable." It's the worst verse.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was that kid that, do you remember the power team? Yes. Man, I gave my life to Christ.
Help him! Help him!
And I was a kid, and it was like, yes, believe it! They were the big buff guys, and they'd rip phone books in half.
Yes,
in
way.
The name of Jesus!
Yeah. John Jacobs
in the
power
name
team.
Of Jesus! And they'd rip a phone book in half, and they'd break bats over things, and be like, the power of Christ compels you!
No, you're mixing that up. That's like...
my bad. That's a little later in my
sorry.
Mind. So, and then...
And then their heads start spinning around,
Gosh.
And they're ripping phone
Wait.
Books and going...
That didn't happen in y'all's church.
Man, and I was so... I grew up Baptist. I was so... I don't want to say heavily... I was heavily influenced. I was like 9 years old. I was a few years into being saved, and I remember watching this Power Team thing and McGee and Me and all these like Christian video things, and it was essentially, I don't want to say indoctrinating me, but it was like, if it's not Christian, it's not okay. And I remember one day while my mom was at work...
You put on a leotard and tried to rip a phone book?
I grabbed a hammer.
Oh, you had to.
And I grabbed my Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh, no.
And all of our video games. My brother's still pissed about this. And I just hammered it all. In the name of Jesus.
Really?
I'm not joking. In the name of Jesus. For Jesus. It was like, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I was 9. I'm doing it for you, Lord. And I hammered everything. And my brother was like, not TNC Surf. And I like, I grabbed his TNC Surf and Skate, which was his game. I remember it clearly. And just hammered his video game. I'm like, no, I'm saving you. I'm saving you because these have the power to make you sin. Oh. And... It really frustrates because when you are a believer, now obviously...
So you blame Power Team for that?
Man, I just blame the idea that there are these evil spirits in everything. Behind every bush, there's a demon.
Phone books.
And there's
Dude,
evil
phone books
spirits
must be
in
really
video games.
Evil because they took it out
and
on that
crap. And comics
yeah.
or anything that brings joy or fun are evil and they'll cause you to do anything and it negates all personal responsibility. It's not your fault because there was a demon in said video game or in said Eminem song that made you do this. It's not,
maybe
you know.
If it's Tron and it has like a hidden world in there. But.
So to get to the question, is it wrong to play video games? No, it is not in and of itself inherently wrong to play video games. My children, granted, they were pretty strict about when they can play video games, what video games they play. My children are not playing Resident Evil at 8 and 10 years old. They're playing Disney's Infinity at 8 and 10 years
right.
old. They're playing Minecraft. They're playing things that, you know, that are building and expanding. And again, we do it on a limited basis. All their homework, all of their Little League practice. Everything has to be done, the room clean, this and that, and it, you know, they get to play video games for a little bit. They get to watch movies. They get to have fun and enjoy their lives because God doesn't want to thumb squash us and make us bored all the freaking time. God is so good, and He is the creator of pleasures. He invented it. And so it just, it always irritates.
What's that verse? I forget the exact location that it's at, but it talks about that in His presence are pleasures forevermore.
Oh, man. Right.
It's like the essence of God is joy. And,
yes. And you know? and to say, well, that verse means you got to be at Mass 24/7, surrounded by stained glass windows and monks going,
that's
and
fun.
It's freaking boring.
That's so much fun.
No, it is not fun. No. And of course.
Well, like Diablo, they have like monks that pray, and that's fun.
Mm. So let's talk about this, because there are two sides to this. Is it inherently wrong to play video games? The answer to the question
yes.
is no.
Oh,
however,
no.
However, you and I used to both play a video game that really was a time waster.
Dude, it was an addiction.
World of Warcraft.
Worse than crack cocaine.
We were in a guild. You were way worse than me. I'm just kidding.
You got me into it.
I did.
Dude,
I was
you
a
were
drug
my facilitator.
That gave you, hey man, just taste this. I got a free 7-day trial, man.
Enabler.
Dude,
just
you
try
had
this
me.
Out.
You had me freebasing that crap after like 2 weeks.
And you,
Steve-o.
I'm sorry. I cannot be responsible. He's a grown man.
Hey, are you his power team?
I am. And so we honestly, in all seriousness, World of Warcraft became something of a lifestyle of an addiction where we saw it waste not just our lives, but the lives of a lot of our friends who at 20 something were just sitting in front of a computer for 7-8 hours a day, and we were jealous, like, man, we got wives and jobs, this sucks, wish I was what is it called, Azeroth. I couldn't even remember. I was gonna say Asgard.
Asgard.
Thankfully, I don't even remember. Oh,
the kingdoms of Middle Earth.
So no, it's not inherently wrong, but you also have to weigh out the time. Is it what is the purpose behind it? Are you just wasting time?
Dude, that game was truly addicting. You
yeah,
know how people say they're addicted to drugs? If they get around it, it's still addicting even like years after. So the other night I was just sitting at my computer, and my wife was, at women's ministry and the kids were asleep and I was at my computer, and I was like paying bills and I was like, this is the computer I used to play World of Warcraft on. Literally, that thought came into my head. It was like, it was like World of Warcraft was like ingrained in my heart. And I was like, I should play that game. Like, I was sitting there. I was like, wait, what? What are these? WASD? What?
Oh man!
Oh.
I still found
that. And it was like I was addicted to it again, and I hadn't even started playing. And I was like, I should download it right now. I should wait. My wife might find
out. And then you blacked out 6 hours later. You're like, what happened?
The good news is it takes 12 hours to re-download World of Warcraft. So you're like, forget this. I'm out.
Oh my god.
So it can be a time waster. No, God doesn't want to thumb squash you. Yes, it's okay to have fun and enjoy things. But all things are acceptable. Not all things are beneficial is where I usually go, because some video games, they can be fun. I rarely get a chance to play video games anymore, because I'm a grown up. I have children. I have responsibilities. I have a roommate. And so I don't really get to play video games anymore. Maybe once a weekish.
Yeah.
We'll actually turn it on.
And then I think that just that whole personal responsibility thing is so important, because you need to be able to examine what you're doing.
Yeah.
Obviously, if it's something that is taking all your time from you, maybe cut back a little bit or just cut it off for a little while.
Yeah.
And then if it's stuff that's encouraging, you know, like different sorts of temptations within you, because nowadays video games are super realistic and they're super, super, you know, like, over the line a lot of times.
We don't have Call of Duty in our household. We don't have any of the, you know, first-person shooters with lots of violence and whatever.
Even like Tomb Raider. Tomb Raider is an action-adventure game. It's kind of like Indiana Jones, but now Lara Croft looks like a real person, and she's not ugly. So you're just like, what are they selling? You know,
You know what we should do? Because, like, I think people like our parents, like our dads, like used to – like man night would get together and like poker night, right?
Right.
Like that was like our parents' generation. Yeah. We should like once a week get together and like play video games.
Gosh.
Like
guys.
Once a week, like get a bunch of guys together and sit down, like have some pizza and be like, hey, it's video game night. Like it's our chance to just play some video games.
I had a name for it.
What?
I had a name for it because men, guys, we really do need that time, you know? And I came up with an idea. I called it mandatory, right?
Oh.
And all the dudes get together and it's mandatory. Maybe once a week, but really it'd probably be like once a month because we're dudes and we suck at planning.
I know. It'd be fun.
But I agree. And so it's definitely okay. In fact, there are moments where we're called to lie down beside still waters.
Beside a man? I think you were going to say we're called to lie down beside a man. I'm like,
mandatory.
We
what?
Need to take a break, man, because we go. There's a day of rest for a reason, because we go. And yeah, it's okay to enjoy a book or a comic or a movie. You can delight yourself in that. You know who had a great message about this? RZIM.org. It's Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. Ravi Zacharias talked about pleasures and the purpose of pleasures. And I'll tell you what. We play him on Sunday nights, and I was rocking that. It's been about a year now. It was one of the most incredible things on that. He was talking about taking in film, what we take into our bodies. Is it okay for this?
Dude.
And that guy's amazing.
That's good. You know, actually, on that topic, we've got a question on that exact topic, I think, on what we take in. Let's take line one.
All right. Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Oh, hang on. I put you on speakerphone.
Okay.
Oh, don't do that, girl.
Oh.
Shoot.
I have to pretend like I'm at work when I'm at work.
I get it.
Hey, right. There gotcha. You go. There gotcha. You go.
That's what we do every day. We pretend like this is a job.
No, not me. I work all the time.
I'm pretending like I'm working right now.
See, I have to spend all day talking to myself because there's nobody here. And anyways, that's...
I put myself on autopilot. Yeah, I'm not even here right now.
I talk to myself all day long, even when I'm surrounded by people.
I'm at home sleeping right now. This is just autopilot now.
Wow.
Matrix.
Good company then.
Yes.
Okay, so on Monday, you were talking about that town in Florida, and you played the Sons of Anarchy theme song.
Yeah. Running through this world. And,
yeah, and you don't watch that, do you?
Sons of Anarchy? Let me ask Pastor Nate Heitzig in charge of Renovate.
Yeah.
Nate, have you ever seen that show before?
I have seen that show, but that's why I wanted to take your phone call, because this past season, actually, at the end of the season, my wife and I watched that show, and we really enjoyed it, actually, for a series of for a little while.
Yeah.
But we actually just came to this past season where I was like, I just felt convicted. I was like, man, I don't think I can watch this show after this season.
Yeah.
And what happened, this is the reason why. I when it comes to movies and media, my policy is that each person's going to be able to judge what's okay for them to see.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to judge how it affects you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's some shows that I can watch and I'm like, okay, that was good entertainment, and it doesn't affect me the rest of the week.
Yeah.
I found that watching that show began affecting my days the day after and during the week. It made me feel dirty after watching it, and it made me feel angry, and I felt these emotions that I was realizing, man, this show is actually causing me to feel things in my everyday life.
Yeah.
You know, when I watch Walking Dead can be a pretty gnarly show. There's a lot of violence, but I don't wake up the next day feeling angry at zombies and feeling mad and feeling bitterness and rage from watching Walking Dead. It's just entertainment. But I found that watching Sons of Anarchy, I began to feel those feelings. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, we're not watching anymore after this season.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not advocating and saying that means that no one can watch that show.
Everybody should watch the first few seasons.
Or that people should watch Walking Dead for that matter.
Right.
I think that each person has that boundary, and I really feel that you've got to be able to tell within your heart, man, is this okay for me to watch? Is this something that I can stomach, that I can actually enjoy and watch? You know, I remember it's just so interesting with Walking Dead. My parents watched Breaking Bad.
Oh, okay.
And they watched it, they enjoyed it, they're like, wow, that was a great show. My wife wouldn't let us watch that show because there was something about it that affected her. Then my wife and I watched Walking Dead, and I told my mom, you should watch Walking Dead. She watched the first couple episodes, like, this is horrible, this is grotesque, and she couldn't watch that. Now, after she had seen a few episodes, she continued to watch it because she was like, well, okay, it's kind of good, it's got good acting.
It's
just to show there's certain things that affect people differently. So Breaking Bad was something my wife couldn't stomach. You know, Walking Dead was something my mom couldn't stomach. So there's different things that affect different people different ways. But personally, for my life, after this past season of Sons of Anarchy, we're like, we can't watch the show anymore.
Yeah. So to get to the question, because I was curious, unless that was the question, do you watch Sons of Anarchy?
Well, the thing is that I've only been a Christian for 6 years. I got baptized in February 6 years ago. And, like, the more that I progress along my journey, the more it's like there's a new level. Okay, this is no longer acceptable anymore. And the first season, I watched Sons of Anarchy from the beginning. I loved all of Breaking Bad. Before last season, it crossed that line for me, but... Mm. You know, it was something that my husband and I did together, and I talked to some people, and they said, well, if it's something you and your husband do together, it's about your relationship and your commitment to him. The first episode of this last season, that was it. That was, you know, they did something that I felt could not be entertainment, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but then 2 nights ago, I rented and watched the Dallas Buyers Club, which is over-the-top sinful nature, but, you know, it was... I am a recovering drug addict, so I could sympathize and identify with the people in the program.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it comes to that personal conviction, because you're right. With those experiences, you can identify, and it can honestly be used. I was actually talking to your dad. I was talking to Skip about this very thing with Breaking Bad. The story was something that everybody was drawn to because it's like sin. It started so innocently. He was wanting to do something for his family. It was, I gotta make some money for my family because I'm not gonna be around. And so I gotta take care of my family. And so to him, he thought he was doing good. And so it was this idea, and to see where sin takes you and the man, the not degradation, I guess the degradation of man, like he. Yeah.
But I feel like I feel like SOA is even worse than that. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Sons of Anarchy is the days of Noah. Like, it's like just like people doing right in their own eyes, stabbing chicks in the head, doing drugs, shooting people.
It's awful.
It's just, I mean, it's just gnarly.
Yeah.
And so, like, what I found is that, cause this was the place my wife and I were in, is we have a lot of shows we watch together and it's kind of like our time together.
Yeah.
So I was in the same place, like, man, my wife and I watched this together, but I found that it was affecting my relationship with my wife after the show because I'd be in such a bad mood or angry that my wife would like, I'd like, snap at my wife and I'm like, man, this show is affecting who I am. Yeah. And I was like, I can't watch this show.
Yeah. And I felt like a terrible individual because all of my friends were like, you don't need to watch this, the latest season, because I'm telling you it's evil and it's awful. And I got to the end of the season and was like, well, can't wait for the next one because I want to know how it wraps up. It's the final season, and I agree that it was I'll tell you right now, this
I got
is
done
the
with the last
time.
Season. I was like, I hope it ends with a nuclear bomb hitting where they all live and they all die. I hope everyone just dies.
And here's my thing. I wouldn't – this is, to be honest, because you asked the question, we're answering the question. It's not something I would necessarily ever, ever bring up and say, oh, man, I watched this show, because I know that that can influence other people saying, oh, well, Steve-O watches that show. I'm going to check it out. I don't wish that anyone would ever watch that show, because anytime people ask me what my favorite shows are, it's like, I watch this. Nope. Because I just can't recommend, I'd never recommend it to anybody. You know, I really
it's
wouldn't.
Worse than like some HBO and Showtime shows.
Yeah. Right. I have a pastor friend of mine who is a huge fan of Game of Thrones. And it's like, dude, Game of Thrones, you got to check it out. But I know, because for me, my personal conviction, I know anytime there's like nudity of any kind, I can't. Like yesterday even, we were watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. with my 8 and 10-year-old, and it's never really gotten racy. And yesterday, it was this, you know, temptress from Asgard, and she was, you know, and there was a point where all of a sudden it was like, girl starts kissing dude, and it was, we knew where it was going. Yeah. So my wife immediately said, boys, and Matt, me, Jack, and Luke all turned away, and she got through that scene and fast forward, and then we're like, okay, and we're good.
You know who
and
watched
we're back.
It? Panda.
Panda the cat, and then our wives. Our wives.
That's my thing with Sons of Anarchy. I feel like no matter what you struggle with, Sons of Anarchy will offend you. Struggle with sex and nudity? Oh, it's got that. Struggle with drugs? Oh, it's got that. Struggle with profuse, you know, profanity? Oh, it's got that. Yeah. Struggle with violence? Oh, it's got that. Hey, whatever you struggle with, we got it.
We got it.
Right.
Days of Noah, welcome to our plan for you. It's got guys dressed as girls. It's got, we've got it all.
But it's so charming. Ah, huh? See what I did? Charming. Okay, sorry. Man.
That's a town in the show for
Thank
those
you.
Of you who don't
Thank
watch
you.
It.
Thank you.
I think it's, just like you said, you connected with Dallas Buyers Club, you know, because of, like, mistakes in your past. Like, if I ever saw that movie, I could never relate to it that way. And I think that's the whole thing. Every person relates to different forms of entertainment in different ways. Now, does that mean, you know, you can go do whatever? No, just like Steve-O quoted that verse a while ago, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And luckily, we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who comes in telling Nate, saying, hey, this is affecting you, man. You need to quit.
You know?
Yeah. Or he's rushing through the room, going through Chrissy, saying, guys, don't look at this, you know, protect our sons right now.
Because
S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting kind of crazy or whatever. So the same with all of this stuff. You know, that's the glory, that's the responsibility, but it's also the glory of having a personal relationship with God through Christ.
Yeah, and you never know how God can use that in someone's life, which is why we have Comics Corner, which is why we have shows like Shock Therapy Live, to be able to, for those that maybe have been through that or were affected by things, using that for God's glory and finding that redeeming quality or as a great story of, hey, watch out, don't do this. I feel like they're in there for a reason.
Yeah, like the biggest lesson of Breaking Bad was that he tried to do that, and I'm sorry if you haven't seen it. He tried to do so much for his family, and in the end, his actions, all he got, what was coming to him.
Yeah.
You know, there was no redemption in his action caused by him. Any redemptive act, it was by the grace of God. They wouldn't say that on the show, but it was not because of his actions. You know, it was a real world, real consequence, and that was the truth of that show. You can't run around being a drug dealer, you know, and things work out, because it's not going to work out. Yeah. It's just not going to. And even if you had all the money in the world and you got away with everything, you would be totally empty inside and probably end up committing suicide, because that's the story that happens every day. Mm-hmm. And so the thing about watching those shows, even Sons of Anarchy, you try to find that redemptive quality. Because right now, my question is Jax ever going to find redemption in Sons of Anarchy?
Is he a product of his upbringing? Because that's the big thing I hang on to. My dad died when I was very young, and so I identify with that, because is this character the product of the way he was raised and his family and what he's seen and what he's been through? More so now with this latest season, it's that idea of every single decision you make defines your character. And it seems every decision that is made by these characters, man, just changes the course of their lives, and it affects them for the rest of their lives. And it's just such a gnarly story, and it's hard, you know. So thanks for the call.
Yeah,
I love talking about this.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. Welcome to the family, by the way. 6 years old. I love that.
Thanks.
All right, it's great.
I remember when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, I was in front of a big blue singing songbook with Salty. I was literally 6 years old.
Didn't you see Salty like smoke or something backstage?
No.
No, who was I? I was talking to somebody. I was talking to somebody, and they saw Salty smoking
that
like backstage. That would have
broken my little six-year-old heart.
I know.
Oh, Salty, that's breaking my 30-something-year-old heart.
It's okay.
Salty smoked?
Yeah.
Salty.
I just picture, whenever someone tells me that about Salty, I picture, did you ever see that movie Blades of Glory?
I never saw it.
I picture that part where Will Ferrell's dressed up as like the dinosaur, and he's ice skating, and he's drunk, and he starts throwing up, and then he's like, and all the woodland fairies are running away from the ice because he's, you know, at this kid's play throwing up on the ice.
I never saw that.
What Salty should have done in that situation, if that kid caught him smoking, he should have thought real quick and said, son, eternity's for everybody. You going to be smoking or not?
Okay.
No. What he should have done, if he thought quickly, he should have hit him over the head and hit him under the stage.
Oh, my gosh!
Salty.
We do so much good and negate it all with just 7 short words. Static, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, you know, just chilling, talking about taking people out.
Salty, the mass serial killer.
Oh, cool. Salty.
It's turning into death to smoochie.
Cool.
Cool. Hey, by the way, Steve, that thing you guys were doing with Jean Grey, you guys should make a parody video out of that. That was really cool.
Hey, thanks, man. Thank you very much.
Cool.
We do enjoy that.
Yeah, I had a question for Pastor Nate.
Yeah, what's up, man?
So, not too long ago, my youth pastor at our church, he felt called by the Lord to go to Hawaii to be a police officer.
Wow, and, rough calling.
And to start his own church. And yeah, it was really hard, but he really felt the Lord was leading him towards that, and he's been very, very successful in doing that. And so my question is, are youth, because he had like youth leaders under him, that were kind of running it after he left. It just kind of seems like we've kind of gotten away from where we were. Like, for example, there's been like a lot of like fun game nights and not necessarily a whole lot of like the word and stuff like that. And I've been hearing like other students be like, you know, I want to learn more about the Bible, but it seems like we're kind of going away from that, and some of them like aren't really listening. I just want to know what's a good way I can like help them out, but how do I put it? Like not to be like mean about it, but
to encourage
them
to dig back into the Word.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much.
How do you encourage your youth pastors to dig back into the Word?
Yeah, because as a youth pastor, what obviously, you know, digging into the Word and having those are very important. Isn't necessarily bad to have bowling nights or movie nights or.
Yeah, man. This is the hard part. I find it's really hard for a congregant of any church to come to a pastor and say, hey, you should do this.
Right.
The reason I say that is because, you know, we teach the Bible and we feel like that's God's calling in our lives. And what we do, we feel like we're following a biblical principle. And we get a lot of people that come to us and say, you should do things this way. And honestly, I'm just going to be completely upfront. Our initial response when we get one of those one of those letters or one of those things in the mail is to put it in the trash can.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, that's cool. That goes inside our special filing cabinet.
Right.
You know, that's our initial response because we feel like we're following the call of God, not the call of man. And so the hope is that any pastor who's in ministry has that mindset. They're following the call of God, not the call of man. So it's hard to break through that sometimes and say, hey, you should do things this way or we should get back to this, because their initial response is to say, you're not God. You know, and so it's a really hard thing to share in love to a pastor that they should do things different if they're not doing things in a biblical way. I would, you know, I think one of the best ways you could do that is maybe ask them a question, say, hey, you know, what would you guys think about teaching through a book of the Bible? Or what would you guys think about, you know, doing this? I know that a lot of people have been wanting that. What would you guys think about that? And almost ask them a question to see if they'd be willing to do it instead of addressing and saying, hey, I really think you guys should start teaching through the Bible, or you guys should start doing this. But more phrase it as like a question that, hey, I know myself and some of the other students would really love to start studying the Bible again. What would you guys think about doing that? Would one of you guys be willing to teach that?
Mm-hmm.
And approach it more in a humble way of asking them a question, I think probably the best way to approach it.
Wow. Yeah, just because, you know, like I said, I don't want to be mean about it and be like, hey, you guys are doing this wrong, and, you know, it's kind of an insult.
Right.
But just a kind of way to be like, hey, we've kind of fallen away from some things. Can we come back, you know, to that place of, you know, getting in the Word, you know, reading our Bibles, different spiritual challenges like that.
I also have a hard time when you're talking about a transition like that,
yeah,
because when you're talking about one pastor who did it a certain way and then that pastor leaves and then the next pastor comes in and does things differently.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine any pastor taking it well when you go to the pastor and go, hey man, remember how the old pastor, he did it like this, and you should be like that guy.
And that's where I think it's all the way you approach it. So I think if you approach it in love and say, hey, you know, I've talked to some of the other students, and would you guys be willing to teach a Bible study? You know, would you guys be willing to pick a book of the Bible and maybe take us through it? We really have a hunger. If you approach it from a standpoint of your heart, say, you know, we really hunger to study the Bible. Would you help us do that?
Yeah.
You know, if you approach it from that standpoint, I think they're going to say, man, yeah, you guys want to do that? Yeah, we'll do that with you. You know, so I think that if you approach it from that standpoint, you'll have better results than approaching it from, hey, you know, you're not doing this, and we think you should do this, and the old pastor did this. Don't approach it from that standpoint. Approach from a personal standpoint of, hey, we really want this. Would you be willing to do this with us?
Yeah.
So you're being led by youth workers right now? Is that what you're saying, or is it a new youth minister?
It's more like understudies of the youth pastor.
Okay. What happened? I was our youth minister when I was a senior in high school. Some bad stuff went down and he left the church and we got a new guy in. My encouragement to you is don't be a jerk to the new guy. I was a jerk to the new guy and I was constantly like, man, you're not doing this right. Everything's falling apart. Everybody's going to a different church.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much just sowing seeds of negativity when I should have just come alongside him. Nate and Steve are telling you to do, come alongside those people and say, hey, you know, let's all work together. We're in a time of transition. Things are hard, but we're going to get through this. And just pray for God to give you vision and stuff.
Yeah, because if the Lord is placing something on your heart, and, you know, as you're saying, a bunch of the kids are feeling the same way, and the Lord is leading you guys, maybe it's something where you take initiative and come up with positive ways. Hey, this would be great. Wondering if you guys would be down with this type of thing, and really encouraging it that way, rather than I don't like it now.
Because some of those youth leaders might be a little afraid to kind of take up the role of a minister. Maybe they don't feel necessarily called to do that. Maybe that's what's happening.
Yeah, you never know. Right on, man. Thank you for the call.
All right, thanks. Hey, right. By the way, sorry for stuttering in the beginning. It's just someone turned up the radio.
Oh, it's okay.
And it got that annoying aftershock, like where you say something and then like a little delayed echo. So sorry about that.
That's the way, dude.
That's the Holy Spirit.
Stop, all right,
thanks,
it!
Guys.
Okay,
see
thanks,
ya.
Man.
Bye.
That dude is so sincere. Pastor Nate Heitzig, everybody. If you like shenanigans like that, check out Renovate every Thursday night. He's hilarious.
I'm so funny.
What do you guys got going on this Thursday night at the Lobo?
This Thursday night, we're actually doing our once-a-month animal sacrifices.
Oh, my gosh.
Butcher animals, bathe in blood, and, you know,
Doug,
eat
I need
hearts.
An intro. I need, like, shattered glass
awesome.
Intro. I'm about to smack them
so
together.
Good.
And, like, okay.
No, we're going through the book of Matthew right now. We're doing a series called Checkmate as we study, an in-depth study of the book of Matthew. We're transitioning. We're in chapter 7 right now. And we're looking at the fact that, Jesus Christ is the preeminent reigning king, in every area of our life. And that's really the theme of Matthew, is that he's the King of Kings. And so we're having a fun time studying that. So come out and join us. And, yeah.
King of the Ring of Kings. Good.
King of the Ring of Kings?
Yeah, huh? King of the Ring.
King what? Of the Ring.
It's like, you know, there's WWE.
King of the Hill?
I just thought of WWE because I wanted to body slam you. I like that. That's cool. So every single Thursday night, renovateabq.org for details on that. If there are people who want to get involved in the ministry, how can they get involved, help out?
Yeah, so we, you know, we're always looking for leaders, people who want to be a part of what God is doing down there at the Lobo Theater. And you can either go to renovateabq.org to check out more of that, or just come talk to us and, you know, pick up a leader application. We'd love to get you plugged in. Our motto at Renovate, all of our leaders, is that we're here for you. So if you come for your first time, come find one of us, find one of the leaders. We'd love to talk to you, love to show you guys love, get you plugged into what God's doing down there in the Nob Hill area.
There it is. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, we do podcast it week in and week out. You can find out more at our website, mystaticradio.com. Hey, if you're a local business and you're looking for ways to help peoples in the local area, we need a sponsor for Shock Therapy Live. It would be rad to have your business sponsor our show.
That would be super cool.
Yeah, that'd be great. You can find out more information on that at our website as well. And send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com.
And if you do, you'll get more rewards in heaven.
Okay.
Cool.
If you sponsor us, God's going to make your business super, super prosperous.
Fastball special, throw me!
That's awesome.
Joel Osteen told me that.
Do you guys have is there a ticket I can buy maybe to work off some time?
Well, this is the thing. If you sponsor Static Radio, I'll send you a prayer rug.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.